Welcome. Thank you for coming out this evening. For those of you who are tuning in from home, we just trust the Lord will speak to hearts and encourage us tonight as we come to the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 29. Just going to read one verse. Proverbs chapter 29 and just verse number 1. This really was the verse that the Spirit of God used to convict me and to bring me through for Christ. I never had to learn this verse. Somehow the Spirit of God imprinted it into my heart. And I had that real fear in my heart that God had given up on me and that God was finished with me. And so this is a verse that's special to me because the Lord used it indeed to bring me to Christ. Proverbs 29 and verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let's read it again. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word for our hearts. I met a young lady up in the North Coast not too long ago. We were talking about her stepfather. Her stepfather had taken a stroke a number of years ago, and she said, if only he was able to speak. If only he was able to communicate. Some of you perhaps may have personal experience, and you know how difficult that is, and how difficult it is to maintain that relationship when you can't really communicate. And it's awful when someone is no longer able to speak. I want to suggest to you tonight that the worst thing of all is when God no longer speaks. When God has been speaking to you, perhaps in the meeting this evening, perhaps watching online, and God has been speaking year upon year upon year, and still you're not saved. And the danger is there comes to that point when the Lord lets you go. And God has nothing more to say to you. What an awful situation to find someone in. What an awful situation that would be if you were to find yourself in that situation in a day yet to come. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Over this past year, it's been over a year now from the first lockdown, we've got used with things that we never thought we'd get used with. I remember taking meetings in Belfast a few months ago and traveling up the M1, flashing on the signs on the motorway was the question: is your journey necessary? Is your journey necessary? When I'm driving in the car, I tend not to have the radio on. I tend just to sit with myself. I like my own company. I get on well with me, and I don't mind me at all. And so I was listening to nothing, but then I start to think of the sign: is your journey necessary? And you know, the Bible talks about a journey. And there's a journey that you and I are on. We're born on this journey. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. There's a narrow way which leadeth unto life. If you don't know Christ, if you've never been saved, if you've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're on the broad way tonight that leads to destruction. Is your journey necessary? No, it's not. Because Jesus Christ left heaven. He came to this world and he went to Calvary. And he died in order to be your Savior tonight. You don't have to continue in that broad way that's leading to destruction. You can be saved tonight. You can be rerouted tonight. You can change your pathway tonight from the broad way until the narrow way that leadeth unto life. Two gates, the wide and the straight. Two ways, the broad and the narrow. Two destinations, life and destruction. Two kinds of travelers, the few and the many. Which journey are you on tonight? Is your journey necessary? It's not if you don't know Christ. You can get saved tonight and leave here heading in a different direction. Like the wise men, when they came to Christ, they went in a different way. And if you find Christ tonight, your journey will change and change for all eternity. I remember going to take a meeting again. You'll think this man hasn't much to do. Traveling up the motorway, coming into Belfast, I think it was the Iron Hall I was going to preach, Coming over the M3 and flashing on the sign was "Stay at home." Wasn't very welcome. I'm sure it wasn't. I was thinking that some of the ones that I was going to speak to that night put it up there to tell me to stay at home. I don't think that was the case. Stay at home. I started again to think about some in Scripture, and if they had have stayed at home, what a disaster it would have been. Do you remember the man who was sick of the palsy? Do you remember his four friends came and they brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ and his life was transformed. His sins were forgiven him. What if he had said, "No, I'm going to stay at home"? What if he had dug in his heels and says, "No, I'm going to stay at home"? What about little Zacchaeus? I don't know what it was like in Zacchaeus' home. I just, using my imagination, perhaps he had said to his wife that morning, I'm going to go. I want to see who this Jesus is. Perhaps she said, "Look, wise up, you're unpopular, nobody likes you, you're hated out there because you're seen as a traitor, you're seen as a lunde. You just stay at home." What if little Zacchaeus had have stayed at home? And he never would have met Christ. And salvation never would have visited his house that day. What about Nicodemus? Do you remember he came by night to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember what the Lord said? "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What if Nicodemus had have stayed at home and hadn't made his way to Christ? And then I started to think of not only the men that could have stayed at home, but thank God they didn't. And I started to think about Christ. And I say it reverently. Can you imagine someone saying to Christ, "Stay at home. Stay at home." Thank God he didn't. Thank God he left his heavenly home and came into this earth and went to Calvary and died for you and died for me. What a wonderful Savior is there for you this evening. And maybe tonight you really wanted to stay at home, but God has brought you into this meeting. The Lord wants to speak to you because the Lord wants to save you and the Lord wants to change your life. I was traveling up the A1 yesterday going to Belfast. We now have two grandchildren. They were born a week apart during COVID. They're now 1 year old, each of them. And we were going to Belfast to see my son's little girl yesterday. And if you're on the A1 yesterday, the big sign that's on the road, it wasn't working. I don't know what it was trying to say. There was just little lights flashing. It had obviously broken down. It had nothing to say. You know, when I see that, I start to think about all the warning signs that are there on the roads to protect us. Signs that tell us to slow down. Signs that say stop. Signs that say give way. Can you imagine if all the signs were taken away? I spent some time in India with the late Pastor Orr on a number of occasions. And when you're in India, it's just a free-for-all. It's absolutely chaotic. I can't imagine what it would be like here in Lurgan or in other towns if you took all the road signs away and there were absolutely no warnings. It would be chaos. It would be dangerous. You know, God is continually sending us warnings, particularly if you're not saved. What if God was to remove those warning signs? What if God was no longer to flash any warning signs in your direction? You see, that's what I'm thinking about this evening. What if God has nothing to say to you this evening? That's why the hymn writer said, "Oh, turn while the Savior in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbor light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight?" What if someone here was to drift beyond the point of no return? A number of years ago, I don't think they come anymore, there used to be a thing come to Belfast called Thunderland. And I remember going one night, I wasn't married at the time, it was a long time ago. And I was going with this girl and another girl and a fella, and I hate those rides. I really can't stand them. But when you're there with a girl and everybody else is going on, well, you have to get on it. and peer pressure. And remember, I was turned upside down. I was thrown this way and that way. I can remember this thing like a sieve. And you just stood in it and it burned around. And the centrifugal force just threw you back. I could even feel my face getting wet. I don't know whether someone was spitting or they were sick. It was an awful experience. But I remember going up one occasion. And it gave you warnings. You have still time to turn back. You have still time to turn back. And then eventually when you get up so high, it said you're beyond the point of no return. And you know you were snookered. There's no way you could turn around and walk away. Spiritually tonight, imagine if you were to go beyond the point of no return. Were you saying no to Christ? Now, you may think this is a serious thing tonight. Would God really do that? Do you remember Judas Iscariot? Do you remember in the upper room when the Lord Jesus Christ was there and there was Judas Iscariot? Do you remember Judas Iscariot gets up out of the seat and he leaves the place where Christ is and he heads out into the night. He's on his way to betray the Lord. He's on his way to sell the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Soon he would take his own life. Soon he would be in hell for all eternity. What did Jesus Christ do to stop him? Not one thing. Not one thing. And I say it reverently tonight. The Lord Jesus let him go to hell. He let him go to hell. Judas had gone beyond the point of no return. What about you this evening? We come to Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Some believe that Solomon had written this with King Saul in mind. You remember how Saul had tortured his father and how Saul had hounded David over and over again. And indeed, Saul lost his life eventually. He wasted his life chasing after David. I'm not sure whether that's right or not, but certainly Solomon has left this text for you and I to think about and to meditate upon this evening. Roland Hill used to tell about the old dog that sat beside the blacksmith, and when it first came and the blacksmith would be on the anvil and the sparks would fly, the dog would yap and yelp and jump out of fear, but eventually it got so hardened to the sparks it just lay there and they really just bounced off the little dog. And sometimes that's how the gospel is. The Spirit of God grips our hearts and we feel we really want to get saved, and yet we don't take that step. And we refuse to trust Christ as our Savior, and we leave a meeting and then we do another meeting and another meeting, and it goes on year after year after year. And like that old dog that Roland Hill talks about, it's like the sparks just bounce off us. They don't seem to have any effect any longer. We become hardened, as the text talked about here this evening. Let me break this down very simply and very quickly this evening. He, you see, this is something very personal. When we think of the gospel coming to the United Kingdom, what a blessing that must have been, and how the Lord has explained to us what sin did to Christ, how that sin brought him from heaven, how that sin took him to Calvary, how that sin crowned him with thorns, sin spat in his face, sin scourged his back, sin pierced his hands. Indeed, sin, your sin and my sin, separated God the Son from God the Father when he hung on that cross, and sin caused his death when Christ stepped into death for your sin and for my sin. What a blessing for a message like that to come to United Kingdom. What a blessing for it to come to our own little province, and our province has been soaked in the gospel for many years. What a blessing when it came to Lurgan Town. But what a blessing when it came into your home. What a blessing when the message came to you and into your heart. And the gospel is personal. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Christ speaks to us individually. And maybe the Lord has singled someone out here in Lurgan Baptist tonight. And he's just speaking to you. Just has a message for you tonight. Like Paul or Saul as he was then on the road to Damascus, no one else could see or hear a thing. It was as if nothing was happening. And maybe around you tonight in the meeting, no one seems to be getting it, but you're getting it tonight. Because you know God's going to speak to you tonight. You see, it's very personal. And then you see the persistence. He that being often. This is a wonderful word here this evening. The Lord didn't come to you and speak to you and then leave you. He came to you over and over again. He came when you were at school. He came when you were at Sunday school. He came when you lived with your mom and dad. He came when you were in church. He came to you as a child. He came to you as perhaps a teenager. Maybe you got to your 20s, 30s, 40s. I don't know what age you are this evening, but the Lord's kept coming and coming and coming and coming. He is so gracious. He is so merciful. He is so loving. And over again. The Lord has come to you. He that being often. How often has Christ spoken to you? How often have you heard the gospel? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a privilege to hear the gospel. I remember being in Africa, doing some missionary work with Harold Peasley. Some of you may have known Harold Peasley. And one of my friends, he went to Mozambique. And he took some tracts from every home crusade. And they wanted to pay for them. They just wanted to get the gospel. They were so hungry for the gospel. We are soaked in the gospel. Bathed in the gospel. We have it over and over and over again. How privileged we are. He that being often, you see, how personal it is. You see the persistence tonight. Then you see the problem tonight. He that being often reproved. I wonder, has God been reproving you? Has God been speaking to you? Has God been challenging you? He reproves us through his word. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Has God been speaking to you through his word? God reproves you. You come to the word of God. You see the word of God like a mirror. When you look in it honestly, you see something's not right. You can see that you're a sinner because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can see you're not right for heaven. I mentioned this morning, I called to see someone very recently in hospital, and he told me about all the organizations he was in, what he had done in his church for 57 years, I think it was. And I just had to say to him, listen, that's not worth tuppence. You don't need a church, you don't need a collarette, you need Christ. You need Christ. And has God been speaking to you? This man knew there was something missing in his life. In spite of all the good works and all the church he had, he knew God had been speaking through his word. There's something missing, and God reproves us through his word. God reproves us by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 8. And when he, the Spirit of God, has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Has the Spirit of God been at work in your life? You've listened to the gospel and you can't explain it, but you know it's true. God has been working in your heart by the power of the Spirit of God, convicting you of sin. I know I'm a sinner, of righteousness. My righteousness is just as filthy rags. I need Christ of judgment because Christ has taken the judgment. The prince of this world is judged. Christ has paid redemption's price in full. And the only way you can escape the judgment of God is come to Christ and accept what he did on that center cross at Calvary. God speaks through his word. He speaks by the power of the Spirit of God. He reproves us. You know, sometimes he reproves us through death. Someone we know and someone we love perhaps, and suddenly they're gone. And we are reminded it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And we ask ourselves the question, what if it had been me? There are no spiritual postmortems. There is no purgatory. There's no comeback. That's the end. That's the last of your opportunity to be saved. And God has spoken to you through death. You know, there's been a lot of debate about the deaths through COVID-19. And there's debate about how many of them are actually genuine and how many are not genuine. And I've heard stories about doctors, I don't know whether it's true or not, and how they put COVID-19 on the death certificate because they said it's handy. I said, I don't know whether that's true or not. But what's written on the death certificate, I'll tell you, it doesn't matter one iota. It's whether your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's all that matters. Is my name written there? On those pages, bright and fair, is my name written in the Book of Life? If you want to be up there, then down here you must prepare, and your name must be in the Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Oh, what they're writing the death certificates are relevant. God speaks through death. Has it come close to you? Has God been coming so close and he has been reproving you? God reproves us through natural disasters or man-made tragedies. You know, the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 13, he tells this. He said there were there present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. This was a cruel massacre. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. Nay, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And the Lord Jesus used this man-made tragedy to speak to men and women about their need to repent. Has God been speaking to you even through this pandemic? About the need to be ready? He then went on to talk about that Tower of Siloam. Verse 4, Luke 13. Are those 18 upon whom the Tower in Siloam fell and slew them? Think ye that there were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Nay, I tell you, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. God speaks through natural calamities, man-made calamities. Has God been speaking to you? And God has been reproving you over and over again. God can reprove us through a saved family member. Do you remember the maniac of Gadara was told to go home and tell his friends? What a shock that must have been to those who knew him. Has God been speaking to you through a saved loved one? Maybe someone like Pilate's wife. God has been using them to speak to you, and God has been reproving you. And you know that you need to be saved. And God has been speaking over and over again. He that being often reproved. Is that where you are tonight? God has been speaking in so many ways, in so many circumstances, and giving you so many opportunities. And still tonight, when we sit here in Lurgan Baptist Church, you're still in that broad way that leads to destruction. And you're still not saved. He, how personal, that being often, you see the persistence, reproved, you see the problem, hardeneth his neck. Here comes the procrastination. Have you been hardening your neck? This, of course, was used of the animals that had the old yoke on. And the handler would twist the yoke, and when the neck of the animal was moved, it would go in the direction that it was supposed to go in. But sometimes the neck became very hardened, and it no longer felt the pull. And the animal hardeneth his neck. And you see, animals that couldn't be used for plowing or for that sort of work, they were sent for slaughter. They'd hardened their necks. And they were no longer of any use. Have you hardened your neck to the gospel? Have you become so hardened? Acts 7, verse 51, Stephen said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Have you become stiff-necked? Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 19, who being past feeling, do you no longer feel what you used to feel when the gospel was preached? There's no longer that sense of urgency, that sense of need, that desire to reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Now I'm worried about you. I was at our drive-in church today. We have been at the drive-in church now for over 52 weeks. We only stopped for 2 weeks, one because of a heavy snowfall in Rough Island, the other because of Christmas. And we've been going 50 weeks non-stop. I could take you to at least three people who are not saved, and they haven't missed a meeting. And I'm really concerned about them. They've been listening over and over and over again, and they were listening to Pastor George McConnell again this afternoon, sounding out the gospel, still not saved. I'm concerned about them, that they'll harden their necks and they'll become impervious to the gospel, and they'll be past feeling and they'll become stiff-necked, and somehow the Lord will let them go to hell. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, here comes the punishment, shall suddenly be destroyed. You see, it's sure they shall be. It's sudden, suddenly. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You see, it's sure, it's sudden, it's complete. Shall suddenly be destroyed. Eternal destruction. It doesn't mean, of course, non-existence. Because this book doesn't teach annihilation. It teaches a continual, eternal, conscious punishment in a lost sinner's hell, tormented day and night, forever and ever. I'm not trying to scare you tonight. I'm just telling you what God has said through His Word. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. What an awful position to be in. Thank God you're here tonight. Thank God you didn't stay at home. I'm glad you're here. And maybe God has singled you out and He's pointing His finger right at you this evening. I think of Belshazzar's feast and what a party they were having. Boy, the drink was flowing, the women were there, they were having a ball of a time, and all of a sudden everything stopped. And the writing appeared on the wall. Meeny, meeny, tackle your farce. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. You know, as I think of this pandemic, the world was moving along swiftly. It was one big party. God stopped the party. Do you ever think you would ever see a situation where everything would stop? Everything stopped. It's as if God was writing. You've been found. You've been weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. You need Christ tonight and you need to be saved. Has God stopped the world to speak to you? Because He thinks the world of you tonight. And He wants to see you saved tonight. But oh, still without Christ. And still without hope. He, how personal. He that being often, how persistent. What a gracious, loving, merciful Savior we have. He that being often reproved. What a problem tonight. You have a problem of sin tonight. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, procrastination shall suddenly be destroyed. There's the punishment. And here comes the permanence. And that without remedy. The dictionary says that a remedy is the way of putting something right. It's a way to get rid of something undesirable. In medical terms, it's a cure. Here, there's a remedy for sin tonight. There's a balm in Gilead tonight. That remedy our sister's been singing about, it's the precious blood. And thank God the blood shall never lose its power. And the blood can avail for you tonight. There's a remedy tonight. But the writer says you can come to a place where there's no remedy. If you were a car, you would be a write-off. If you were a house, you would be condemned, uninhabitable, and demolished. If you were a person lying in a hospital bed, you'd be written off as a terminally ill patient. No remedy. And all of those things are awkward and costly and painful. But here's something worst of all. To be told there's no remedy for your soul. How can you get to that place, he or she, old or young, that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy? I'm urging you tonight to get saved. But moreover, Christ is urging you tonight to get saved. I think the fact you're in this meeting, you're not here yet. But I believe God is saying to you, you could get here. You could move to the place of no remedy. When God has nothing more to say, here's what someone has written. There is a time, we know not when, a place, we know not where, which marks the destiny of men to glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen, which crosses every path, which marks the boundary in between God's mercy and his wrath. Oh, where is that mysterious line that may by men be crossed, beyond which God himself hath sworn that he who goes is lost? An answer from the sky repeats, ye who from God depart, today, O hear his voice, today repent and harden not your heart. You don't want to get to that place. You don't want to be in that place where there's no remedy. Thank God there's a remedy tonight. Thank God there's a wonderful, precious, free remedy in the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, tonight, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Don't let this just be another night in Lurgan Baptist where you go to the car and you go home. Do you remember the two men that went up into the temple? One stood up and told how good he was, what he had done, what he hadn't done. Do you remember the publican? He just says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord says, this man went to his home justified. How will you go home tonight? Justified or just the same way you come in? Saved or lost? You know, there's a big rush on for people to get home from Portugal. When they left, it was on the green list, and now it has gone onto the amber list. They have to get home by Tuesday. That's the deadline. If they don't get home by Tuesday, then they're going to have to self-isolate for 10 days. And so people are scrambling to beat the deadline and get home before they have to get into isolation. I don't know where the deadline is for any lost soul in Lurgan Baptist tonight. I don't know. But to be sure that you don't miss the deadline, Paul says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late for you. Next week could be too late.